Hi, this is Neil.
And
of They Might Be Giants.
Of They Might Be Giants.
Of They Might Be Giants.
And you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Rock music with the rock edge.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. You're listening to WSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
Okay, it's not WSB, Willie. It's WUSB Stony Brook, not 901, 90.1. Good Lord. Too much pot, man. Too much pot. Okay, it's 6 o'clock p.m., and that means it's time for a very weird edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Somehow. And I say it's a weird show because, well, I'm just in kind of a weird state right now. It's the Tuesday before Hope. And for those of you who don't know, Hope is the biannual hacker convention that we throw in New York City. And it's not too late to change whatever plans you have, weddings, funerals, whatever it is that you might be doing on the weekend. And come to New York City to the Hackers on Planet Earth conference taking place at the Hotel Pennsylvania. More information, www.hope.net. Speakers such as Jello Biafra, Kevin Mitnick. I'm forgetting my own name. I'll be there. Richard Stallman will be there. Fiber Optic, Ernie S. And hundreds more. Hundreds more people of all sorts. We're going to have all kinds of fun things to do, day and night. And we've been breaking our asses to do this, to bring it to you. And we did that today, in fact. Oh, my God. So this happens. When the conference comes up, we work hard. We do all kinds of things. We're full of anxiety and nightmares and things like that. But I think we might have overdid it this time because I've been up since yesterday at about 2 o'clock. And I guess that was about 28 hours ago, which, you know, isn't all that much. But I've been going strong. I drove into the city, and I took a train back out so that we'd be able to get the smart car into the city. And then we had to bring the van in, except we didn't bring the van to the city. We had to drive the van all the way down to almost Philadelphia to pick up a couple of, get this, Segways. Yeah, we're going to have Segways at the conference. You will have the chance to ride around on one of these things. Where else can you say that you could just get on the Segway and start riding around? They're kind of weird. If you've ever been on one of these things, they're kind of strange. I don't think they'll ever catch on, but So, yeah, if I sound a little out of it, it's because I'm pretty much very out of it. I feel a little dizzy and woozy. And on top of everything else, it's hot as blazes outside. And basically, we had quite a time driving down there in the 2600 van, which is not air-conditioned. There is no air conditioning in this thing, and not only that, the engine is right there in the cab. It's one of those things where the engine is sort of on the floor, and it heats up the entire cabin. So it's great on a cold winter's night, but it's not so good when the temperature is about 100 degrees outside. So imagine that all the way down to Philadelphia and back. Yeah, it's crazy. But we did it. And traffic, too. A lot of traffic. A lot of trying times. We're going to be relying on our listeners for this show because I have very little energy left. I'll say that. I'm probably going to crash right after this show. We have a guest here in the studio, and I've asked what I should call you, and you just wrote not your real name. You mean I can call you anything?
If you want.
Well, why don't you say who you are, and then I'll just call you that from now on. I'm not good at naming people.
I have no real set name. I mean,
you're going to be difficult on every possible subject here. You know, I know we just went down to Philadelphia and back, and it was a very trying thing. We almost died several times. But a simple matter like your name, just give me a name I can call you, and then we can move on.
I guess you can call me Kevin, then. That's my name.
Kevin?
Yes.
Trying to be a wise guy.
I might just be.
Kevin Mitnick.
Huh?
Is that who you think you are?
Maybe.
Uh-huh. It's a free Kevin sticker on that van you were in, you know. All right. Well, Kevin, we rode all the way down to Philadelphia and back, and it was fun, wasn't it? When you knew you were getting in the 2600 van, I'll bet you didn't know it was going to be quite like that.
I heard some stories, but I didn't think it was going to get to that level of intenseness.
Yeah, well, it's not my fault that the weather is the way it is, all right? I had nothing to do with that. But, my God, I don't understand how anybody can like this. I really don't. I was sweating just standing around, just driving. I was exerting myself, and a lot of other people were, too. I mean, maybe that's good for us, but it sure doesn't feel good. It feels horrible. And hopefully this will be gone by the weekend so everybody won't be sweating outside the hotel. I heard it was going to move away by Thursday, which is perfect. But, wow. It's more than I can take. And when you add no sleep and driving long distances and the hassles and heartaches and headaches of organizing a conference, it makes you go berserk. And I've been going berserk a little bit all day. But I think it's all under control now.
All under control?
I think so. Any highlights for you? Anything you remember that we went through that was sort of... We got really, really lost.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Because I blame Google Maps for this. Because they call a street by a particular name, like Nelson Road or something like that, and they neglect to mention, oh, by the way, that's also the entrance ramp to I-95, and we passed by it maybe three times before we had to call somebody and get directions and learn that. And so we were just driving around like idiots looking for this place, wondering where it was, and the road did not have the same name on it that Google Maps seemed to think it did. So that was an error right there. Segways. What do you think of them?
Can't wait.
Yeah. You're going to be one of the people sort of watching over these things.
That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, you sound really excited about it.
I mean, yeah.
Well, you've been up about as long as I have, so I think both of us have kind of seen better times. Let's just hope we make it through this hour. We're going to be talking to a few people, and we're going to be taking phone calls as soon as we can figure out the delay system, which I think we can do this week. Number for future reference, 631-632-WUSB. That's 631-632-9872. And, boy, this was interesting. I don't know if you saw this, Kevin, as far as what George Bush said the other day. He left the microphone open. That's something we don't do around here. We turn the microphones off when we're not using them.
Oh.
And you don't hear what we have to say after we've said what we, you know, what we say may not make very much sense, but at least we won't keep saying things after we're done saying them. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense.
All right, to me it sort of did, but regardless, Bush didn't do that. He left his microphone on, or somebody left his microphone on, and he was saying all kinds of things. Caught President Bush. Wow, it's really hard to read on no sleep for 26 hours. It's all sort of moving around the page. But, you know, it's illegal to do a radio show drunk. But this is pretty close. I don't think it's illegal to do a radio show without any sleep. But it's sort of the same effect. So, in a way, I'm imitating that. So I don't know if I'm, like, bypassing the rules by doing this.
You're ducking the FCC.
I might be. I might be doing that. And if we were to play this President Bush quote, in fact, Democracy Now! Before this program did play it, except they beeped out the part that is the nasty word. If we were to play that, we could get fined for playing a quote by George W. Bush. Think about that. The president of these United States, right here.
Just the quote or the part of the expletive?
Wow, what an echo that makes when you pound the table. These United States, he's the president of the ones that we're in right now. And if we were to play his quote, that...
So it's just the quote? It's not the part with the expletive in it?
It's the expletive that's in the quote, yes.
That's the problem?
I think so. I mean, that's what the FCC seems to really have a big problem with. In fact, I should point this out, too. We're going to be doing an indecent version, quote-unquote indecent version, of our other radio show, Off the Hook, that will be taking place at the Hope Conference. That's actually rescheduled. It was originally going to be on Saturday. Now it's on Friday night at 8 p.m., and needless to say, that will not air over the radio. The reason being that if it were to air over the radio, whatever radio station aired it would get in a lot of trouble. Now, we're not going to do a stupid Howard Stern type of a thing. I know I'm going to get the letters now. How dare you say anything about Howard Stern? You know, how do I say this? A nice jackball. Can I say that word on the air? Yeah, a jackball that pulled up next to us in his Jeep. And he was playing Howard Stern at, like, you know, volume of 20 on his Sirius radio, that so the whole world could hear just the inanity, if that's even a word, of this guy. This, you know, letting forth with all sorts of foul language just because he can, fine, whatever. But I still think it's just dumb, you know. I think there's a big difference between reading a James Joyce story and somebody just, talking about sex acts for the sake of talking about it. Yeah, you know, they both have audiences, but they're not really the same thing, are they? One is a bit lewd and one is artistic. I guess they're both artistic in a way. I guess I like one and I don't like the other. To each their own. You know what? I don't listen to Howard Stern. I can turn the switch. Of course, I also cannot buy Sirius Radio. So it's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. And hopefully one day we'll have people in power with enough sense to treat us like adults. Of course, we have to start acting like adults, too, and not keep demanding to be talked down to. Anyway, getting back to the Bush story, if these words would stop moving on the page, this really isn't fair to me. They caught President Bush in an unguarded moment yesterday as the escalating crisis in the Middle East prompted him to use an expletive in a conversation with British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Can you imagine that? He's cussing at Tony Blair. What kind of relationship do these guys have where he just is, you know, using all sorts of gutter language to the Prime Minister, the British Prime Minister? That's, and he didn't blink an eye. I guess they use that kind of, toilet tongue all the time. That's how it works in the halls of government. Oh, I mean, what does that mean? What does that say? What kind of message does that send to the children? Do we not have a family-friendly government? We have an HBO government, it seems. One that uses foul language. Yeah, it's like The Sopranos, except it's real. Anyway, Bush and Blair were aware that an event... Hang on. Bush and Blair were aware that an event at the Group of Eight summit was a photo opportunity with media representatives present... And Blair later turned off the microphone. Well, actually, that's a bit of what's the opposite of exaggeration? An understatement. He sort of leaped across the table and turned it off when he realized it was on. It was a really funny sight. In fact, you can see this. If you go to CNN, somewhere on their front page, you'll see the story, and you can play the video. And it's not bleeped out. It would be really silly if it was bleeped out on a website. Fortunately, it's not, and you can see the whole thing. Bush looks ridiculous because Tony Blair is standing up talking, you know, like a leader would talk, and Bush is just sitting there with his jaws like chewing on something. Like he couldn't be less interested. And in fact, on this whole trip to the G8 summit, he keeps talking, or he kept talking about some kind of pig he was going to eat in Germany, and he kept bringing it up. It was like the main theme of his visit, and I think that's what they had to use to get him to go over there, was promise of a pig, because he didn't seem to be really interested in anything else. Anyway, the president was expressing frustration at the United Nations stance on the Israeli-Hezbollah conflict in Lebanon. Apparently not expecting an open mic to pick up his remarks, Bush told Blair, I got to be careful here because I don't want to actually just slip in. See, the irony is what they need to do is to get Syria, to get Hezbollah to stop doing, oh, they printed it, doing this S word, and it's over. Wow. He can say it. He can say it, and I can't. I don't want to say it, but I mean, I resent people telling me that that kind of thing is going to harm anybody. It's really silly. Earlier Monday, Blair and UN Secretary General Kofi Annan called for the deployment of an international force in southern Lebanon, and we just get on with that whole business over there. So Bush again revealed in his true colors. I mean, I don't think there's really anything wrong with that. People do use all kinds of language. I think it's just a very silly way that we deal with things like this, where we act all aghast if somebody does slip up and use a word like that, and it's obvious that that's what language is. Language evolves, language changes. Why are we offended by one word and not another? We hear them all over the place. It's and of course, violence is not something that really offends us nearly as much. It's really pretty weird. Maybe this is because I haven't slept for a long time, but I do have theories on this whole Mideast crisis, I guess is also an understatement. It's getting out of control, isn't it? It's really getting out of control. I mean, one soldier gets kidnapped, and Israel goes berserk. They start invading Gaza and firing all sorts of things at them, and then the Hezbollah thing, that starts because of two more soldiers. It's nice when you value your people so much that you're willing to decimate an entire country to get them back. But think about it. The message that's being sent here is that Israeli lives are worth so much more than Arab lives. I mean, just look at the media. Look at the CNN pages, and you will see this. I just pulled a couple over the last few days. Hezbollah rockets kill 8 Israelis. And, of course, there are pictures. And there are names of the soldiers that are taken. You don't see anything involving names. You notice this? When civilians are killed on the other side, and so far, the vast majority have been civilians, you don't ever see their names. When a soldier is taken prisoner by the Israelis, you don't hear his name. He's just another one of them. Now, I'm not taking sides in this. I'm not saying that that one side is justified in doing certain things. We're just talking about presenting the story in an even-keeled fashion. Now, a lot of people say, well, Israel tries. They try not to hurt civilians. They try to target their weaponry, their missiles, to aim only at certain cars or people on the street or whatever. And that's wondrous. It's lovely. It's very kind-hearted of them to do it this way. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work because the vast majority of people they are killing and hurting are civilians. And yeah, they might be getting their target, but in the process of getting their target, they're getting a whole lot of other people too. To which the answer is, of course, well, that's too bad. They shouldn't have been there. We got to take out these people. Okay, fine. But you can't have it both ways, because then if the evil Arabs come over and blow up a building or something like that, maybe they're trying to get some person in there. And they get a lot of innocent people in the process. Why is it not okay for them, but it's okay for you? It's not exactly fair if we're talking about murdering innocent people. It's never okay. And that's just something I see lacking in the way the story is being presented. Whenever a missile gets lobbed over at Haifa or something, it's a savage, horrible terrorist attack. But Israeli planes flying over and dropping bombs on villages, well, that's just a necessary thing to get back the one soldier that's been kidnapped. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. And seriously, what is Israel hoping to accomplish with this? I mean, when it's over, are the Lebanese people going to say, boy, we really respect you guys now. You've taught us a lesson. We know that you're people to admire and get along with in the future. No, they're making enemies now for decades, more decades. It's the same old thing over and over again. What you're seeing is retribution for something that happened 20 years ago, and it's going to be going on 20 years from now. I have a solution. And again, you know, I've been up for over 26 hours now. It might have been more than that, actually. I didn't get very much sleep the night before. So I'm running on fumes at this point. But here's my suggestion. I know a lot of people are going to reject this immediately, so I ask you, please, just stick with it. Hear me out. Okay, fair enough. We have to attack Israel.
I'm going to reject that.
No. Listen to me. You got to hear it out. We have to attack Israel. We have to bomb Tel Aviv. We have to bomb Jerusalem. And I don't mean just drop a few friendly bombs with leaflets and things like that. Decimate the place. Destroy all the holy temples from all the religions. Hit villages. Hit cities. Hit everybody. And then, when the entire Arab world is celebrating and various other places are saying, finally, now we can have some peace and quiet in this neighborhood, you start bombing them too. You bomb Syria, you bomb Iran, you bomb Lebanon because everybody else is doing it. And just wherever you feel like dropping bombs. And then you march in and you start occupying the place. And before you know it, the Israelis, the Palestinians, the Lebanese, the Syrians, the Iranians, and what few Iraqis are left, will start joining forces to get us the hell out of there. And it'll be a beautiful thing because these people will get together and see that they can work together to drive out a common enemy. Don't you see this is the only way it can work? It's the only way. Of course, the price is that we will be destroyed. But I think that's a worthwhile sacrifice. Yeah, for the Holy Land and for that part of the world. Don't you think they deserve peace after all this time? What better way to get peace than to achieve a common enemy? And if you have a common enemy, if, you know, we can't get spacecraft and aliens down there. If we can, great. But the common enemy has got to be Americans, because we're the ones known for invading other countries and bombing people and just being hypocritical and trying to force our way into things. And now we can do that on all sides at once, bring them together, and it'll be the end of us, but it'll be the beginning of something new and wonderful over there.
So, say we are destroyed, and they're all united in this offensive mm-hmm. against us, then what happens?
Well, hopefully they'll make a note of my suggestion, and at least give me some kind of tribute.
Oh, so this is really just about you.
Well, I thought that's what you meant.
Say they do destroy us, and uh-huh. then it's done.
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
Well, I imagine they'll probably, like, you know, build a stadium or something, or whatever people do when they're at peace.
But what if they start fighting again?
Why would they fight? What have they got to fight about?
They're fighting now. What do they fight about now?
I don't know, but it'll all be forgotten after the big fight. You see, the big fight from the common enemy. You know,
but
that's...
once the common enemy is gone, they're just going to probably start fighting again.
So maybe we need common enemies to be around, sort of looming in the background. There has to be a threat, you're right. Just like Homeland Security is always trying to instill a threat into our heads so that we're vigilant and never trusting, and except for the government. We believe in what the government tells us, and we submit to their searches and whatever else they tell us to do because we're afraid, because of the boogeymen that they create.
So you're saying we should give them a color-coded system of being afraid?
I don't think the colors work. No one's talking about the colors anymore. No one says what the color is. I don't know what the color is. Is it orange or is it yellow? I know. Let's call Mike and ask him. Actually, let's see if the phone works first. What? I waited 1 second and you timed out? Did you hear how impatient that phone was? Let's try that again. Okay. I dialed the phone one. And I waited, like, 2 seconds. Okay, I guess. I don't know what happened that time. We're calling Mike from Off the Hook. Used to be that phone calls went through a lot faster.
Hello?
Mike, is this Mike?
It is.
Hey, Mike, it's Emmanuel, and I don't know why you're not coming through the board anymore. Keep talking.
Okay, well, what shall I say?
There you are, okay. Well, I'd like it if you could tell us. Kevin is here, too. Not Kevin Mitnick, the other Kevin.
Oh, hi, Kevin.
Hey, Mike.
Can you hear him? He's all the way on the other side of the room.
He sounds very faint, but, you know, that's okay.
Yeah, well, he's faint because he's been through a traumatic experience today, driving all the way down to Philadelphia and back in a van that not only doesn't have air conditioning, but generates its own heat.
And that's after
that
a tornado.
That is indeed traumatic. I can imagine that.
That's after what?
A tornado.
Tornado. What's? Oh, you what? That's right. You had a tornado in your home.
I did.
Not in your hometown, that is. Maybe not in your home. But, yeah, up there in Westchester. Wow, it's been quite a week for you. Mike, we wanted to know what the color is. Can you tell us this?
Which color?
The color. Yeah, which color? The only color that matters. The color of our nation's security. What is it?
Oh, well, it's yellow.
You think? Mike, you have to know.
I know. I should know. But I'm
all
pretty sure it's yellow.
You know, I'm looking around the control room here. I'm appalled. There's all sorts of things here. There's all sorts of listings of concerts and music and events on campus. There's a clock, a thermometer, a computer with a playlist, all sorts of electronic equipment. But nowhere around here is the color of Homeland Security. What is the status of our nation's alertness?
Well, if you're wanting to remedy the situation, you know, you can visit the Department of Homeland Security website. And they also offer a sort of XML syndication service so you can get the color onto your own website.
Well, Mike, I'm doing a radio show now. I don't have time to go outside and visit places.
Oh.
You know, I'd like to do that. I'd like to go places. But, you know, I need to know this now. It needs to be in my head.
Well, maybe at Hope we'll have to get a giant banner of the appropriate color so that we know at all moments what the color is.
Well, you're going to be one of the people running Info Desk, correct?
That's true.
Tell us, I imagine Info Desk will be able to tell people what the color is, among other things. What sort of things do you tell people?
Well, whatever they want to know, we'll either know the answer or maybe make one up. So we tell people about schedule updates. We tell people about some of the workshops that we're having. We tell people, you know, where to get lunch, all kinds of information.
You tell people where to get lunch? I mean, people don't decide this on their own?
Well, if they want a recommendation, we can provide one.
Oh, so you're not, like, issuing a directive or anything?
No, we provide information.
Okay, information.
The people, they want information, and you know, by hook or by crook, so we want to make it easy.
I see. Well, okay. Well, without telling too much, what other sorts of things do we have planned for this conference?
Have you talked about the workshop yet?
I don't think we have, no.
We have a whole selection of workshops, which is something that we've never really done quite so much before. In addition to the lock picking workshop, which we've had before, which is always very popular, we also have LED throwies. Do you know about these?
LED throwies. I know about them, but I don't think our listeners do. So tell us all about them.
Oh well, our listeners are missing out. This is basically an LED. A magnet and a battery all sort of taped together, and you can throw them against sort of any magnetic surface and use them to make pictures or whatever, or just like deface things, and they're really cool. And I think you'll be able to take one home if you want, so that's pretty cool.
And this is being presented by the graffiti, who are they again?
The Graffiti Research Lab.
Graffiti Research Lab, yes. And they were recommended highly to us by a number of people, and I think they contacted us independently as well, so it was just sort of a match made in heaven. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm going to try and stop by that one myself. If you go on the Internet and you search for LED throwies, you can see pictures of what they've done with them. It's really neat.
Now, there are going to be all sorts of other workshops as well. You mentioned lockpicking. What's that all about?
Lockpicking is about... Well, we a lot of our listeners maybe know about computer security, but there's a lot of analogs in the physical world of locks. There's the vulnerabilities, and you know, sort of some locks are easier to pick than others. Some locks are allegedly pick-proof, but turn out not to be. Some locks are actually hard to pick, and some real experts on this who obviously know a lot more than I do, and anyone who knows can probably tell by my description. Will be coming from near and from far to share that knowledge with our attendees, and also teach them how to pick locks.
Fascinating.
This is a problem because whenever I have an opportunity to learn this, it's usually on like third day of hope when I'm really tired and have no hand-eye coordination left. But I think our attendees, a lot of them, have maybe a little bit more than I do, start with more or get a little bit more sleep. And so a lot of people are really able to learn a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think I know where you're coming from as far as that particular thought goes, not having any sleep for a while myself. And, mine's wandering away.
I also have another workshop that we just added.
What's that?
Which is called Liberate Your iPod. And if you'll be able to bring your own iPod or your Sony PlayStation Portable, and they'll help you to install some free firmware. So you'll be able to play ARG and FLAC and and escape the manufacturer's digital rights management regime and all that stuff. So that's pretty cool, too.
Mike, do people have the right to do that kind of thing with their iPods?
I hope so. I'm sure if Apple and the other big companies have their way, people would not have the right. But I think at least for now it's legal.
All right, well, that's somewhat of a relief. Now, I understand we have a lot of vendors, too.
Oh, we do.
This is something fairly new to us because we used to just have like a handful, and this year it exploded, and we have, I think, a couple of dozen so far. And they're going to be downstairs on the second floor. The way the space is set up, you enter on street level. It's right across the street from Penn Station. If you're on Long Island or coming from another part of the country and you wind up in Penn Station, just walk across 7th Avenue, and there we are. Front door, right next door to the entrance to the hotel. And go in there, you register, pick up your badge, and you can wander around on the second floor, play with the Segways.
You forgot the escalator. There's a big escalator you have to go up.
Take the big escalator and enjoy that ride. It's just one of many that we have. Play with the Segway, have that ride, go to the workshops, bring your computer system, hook up to the Internet, go to the Hack Center, and just learn all sorts of things there. And we're also going to be broadcasting the conference down to the second floor. Now, if you want to see the conference live, we have express elevators that leave every, 15 minutes? No, every minute or two. Express elevators that go from 2 all the way up to 18, and they don't stop at any of the floors. So you can go right to the conference up there. You can come right back down. You can do whatever you want. You won't miss anything. Well, I mean, you're obviously going to miss things, but if you want to see a particular talk, it's going to be broadcast downstairs as well. So you'll know if it's good, and then you can either watch it there or shoot upstairs and see it live.
Wow, that's new for us, right?
It's new for us. And I think what I've seen in the development of the various Hope conferences over the years, every time we just get a little bit better at it, a little bit more coordinated, and we have things that work so much better.
Well, hopefully that trend will continue.
Yeah, now we should actually have videos of the talks available at the conference, like shortly after the talk is over. And we've never had that before, and that's really cool.
No, well, last time it took months to get them available, so really instantly is quite an improvement.
Yeah, and we'll have them after the conference as well. So it's great to have that done so quickly and not have to worry about that for, as you say, months, sometimes even longer than that. We'll be taking, for those of you who don't want to carry wads of cash around, we'll be taking credit cards. 2,600 people will be taking credit cards. I think other merchants will be as well. Using, what I hope, are special secure terminals that use wireless transmissions. we believe they're secure, but maybe you can prove something isn't. And if that's the case, we'll stop using it. But so far, I believe it's completely secure. It's been tested very.
Turns to my credit card as a test, and hasn't led to an identity theft yet.
Not yet. Give it time. I had quite a problem with my credit card the other day. When you're organizing a conference, you have to buy all these things, and I got to tell you, man, it's just been. This happens every time. It's just sort of like going through some kind of shock and just sort of recovering from it and then having it happen again. And so we were trying to charge some huge amount, like several thousand dollars onto a credit card. And sometimes the credit card company kind of freaks out when you do that. And they say, oh, my God, what are you doing? And they just instantly freeze your card. Now, we have several people that make purchases for us, and they all have their names on credit cards. So when that happens, the card gets frozen, and I'm the only person that can be spoken to. Now, I'm not always reachable, so that sort of stymies the sale right there until they can track me down and get me to say a magic word or two. And it's annoying because sometimes you need to buy something that they think is expensive, but that's the whole point of having a credit card in the first place. These are legitimate users of the credit card. They can prove who they are. They've got that little special code on the back. They're in possession of the card. I really think that's going overboard when you freeze a credit card because you think something is too expensive.
These credit card companies, the fraud people, are really kind of nutty. I remember when I was in college, every semester, like clockwork, they would call me up and say it was suspicious I was spending so much money on textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I agree that the prices are too high, but they really need a hobby or something.
Yeah, but the thing is, what was really interesting about this, on the way home last night, I was in Penn Station, and you know you get cell phone service at the bottom of Penn Station for some reason, which I think is okay. I got on the phone because I was just kind of angry at this. I got on the phone. I had a few minutes to spare. I figured I was going to like yell at somebody in India. And I called up the number, and they asked me to key in my credit card number, which I did, no problem. Asked for mother's maiden name spelled out, the first four letters of mother's maiden name spelled out, which I got correct. And then they asked for the last four digits of the primary cardholder's Social Security number. I also got that right. So at that point, I think the computer trusted me and then read off a series of charges. It just listed off, I think, five charges. And after it finished, it said, "Do you recognize all these charges? If so, press 2. And I pressed 2, and it said, "We had to suspend your card because we were a little concerned about one of these things, but that has now been lifted." It was the most pleasant conversation I had with a computer and most effective conversation I had with a computer in a long time. It did everything I wanted it to do. It was quick, somewhat polite, and I didn't have to yell at some poor person in India.
We got to get this computer at home.
Except, of course, that meant there is no poor person in India employed, and also no poor person here in the United States is employed because the computer did it all. The computer probably is the one that acted all paranoid and got the card frozen in the first place. But on the subject of funding and things like that, boy, there are some weird things going on there. When you run a conference, simple things like, you know, those what do they call them, draperies for tables, the things that go down from the table to the floor. What do you call those? Curtains? Drapes?
Skirts.
What'd say, Mike?
Skirts.
Skirts. Skirts, that's it. Yeah, skirts. We wanted to get those for, I think, around 20 tables. It cost $1,000 to rent those. To rent a bunch of skirts for 20 tables.
That's quite something.
That's a word we can't say. That's another word we can't say.
Don't you think our attendees are worth it, though?
Oh, of course they're worth it, but I don't think we can pull that out of our hat, though. We've found alternatives to this, and we will have the draperies in some form. But one thing I've noticed, which is really kind of crazy, is that in some cases, and more than a few cases, it's cheaper to buy things than it is to rent them. For instance, a screen to show movies on, cost, I think, $1,000 to rent, and you can buy one for $600.
That's a little bit strange.
Where is the logic? There's no logic. No logic.
I do.
No. Sorry?
Let's buy two, rent one to ourselves, and come out ahead.
The thing is, even if you don't want to keep it, you can just throw it in the street after you're done with it, and that's it, you know? There's no reason to rent these things if you can buy them for less. I just don't understand the mentality.
An invitation to steal ours.
Yeah, except I think we're going to keep ours.
Yeah, we should.
That's one less thing to rent next time.
We could screen films in the interim.
Yeah, that's true. Mike, I'm going to call Bernie now. Do you have any other remarks before we go on the air tomorrow night on Off the Hook?
No, I don't. But I'll see everyone this weekend, I hope.
Yes. Be reminded, Hope is this weekend coming up, July 21st, 22nd, 23rd. For the volunteers out there, what's the plan for setting up?
Thursday, we're setting up email volunteer. Is it volunteer or volunteers? At 2600.com.
They both work.
And we'll get back to you with the schedule. It'll be great.
Okay. All right, Mike, thanks. And thanks for everything you've done so far. And I'm sure the success of this conference is going to be a blast.
All right, see you.
All right, see you tomorrow. And it was Mike from Off the Hook who has done a lot of work on the conference. And he'll be manning the info desk as well as other things. So shall we call Bernie now? Let's see if we can reach him. We've prearranged these calls, by the way, in case anyone's reporting this to the FCC. We're not calling people without letting them know that they're on the air or that we're calling. We wouldn't do that because we're not that kind of radio station where we fool people.
Hello?
Hello, is this Mr. Bernie S.?
Well, very few people call me Mr., but...
Mr. Bernie, we have exciting news for you. You have won a planet of your own. No, wait, I blew it. That's not believable, is it?
Oh. Is it in this solar system?
No, forget it, Bernie. It's not going to work. No, it was too stupid. I mean, I should have said something that you'd fall for. And
I was already envisioning the civilization I would build there. And I would appoint myself Minister of Posts and Telecommunications.
Yeah. You know, I should have kept going with it. With you, I could have. Anyway, Bernie, yes, Emmanuel from Off the Wall here. And no, we're not calling...